Happy hour! Welcome to it, the Glass in the Afternoon radio program, Bloomington's Voice, 98.7, AM 1370, and wherever you're listening today at WGCLradio.com. Welcome to the Crazy Horse Tavern Happy Hour here on the 20th day of March. It is Wednesday. It is our last day with you this week. Why? Well, NCAA basketball tournament action begins tomorrow, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at noon. Westwood One's presentation of the men's NCAA tournament. We will have all of the action for you from the first tip to start the afternoon till the last game goes triple zeros on the scoreboard. That will be Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and you won't miss the action no matter where you are in our listening area for NCAA basketball. Tonight we'll have the Pacers for you. They open a five-game road trip in Detroit against the lowly Pistons. The Pistons are 7-28 at home. Halliburton has to get it going tonight if the Pacers are going to make any noise on this road trip. They will play in San Francisco Friday against Trayce Jackson-Davis and the Warriors. Jalen Hood-Schifino and the Lakers on Sunday. Paul George and the Clippers will have that game for you Monday night starting at 10 o'clock. And then on the way back from the trip, they will land in Chicago, also here on WGCL, a week from tonight. Next weekend, Sweet 16. The weekend after that, the Final Four. The weekend after that, the Masters. The weekend after that, Little 500. The weekend after that, well, it's going to be the Kentucky Derby before you know it, the first Saturday in May. And we're having some fun this afternoon. Since we won't be here the rest of the week, we're going to get our NCAA brackets talking about, filled out, and otherwise. And joining me for the first time ever making his maiden voyage on the Glass in the Afternoon radio program is my great friend Barry Deckard. Barry, welcome to the program, buddy.
It's good to be here.
It's good to have you, my man. And there's no person I enjoy talking hoops with more than you outside of the radio building here. Barry and I have ran into each other. We had some mutual friends, have got to know each other the last few years, and one of our great friends, I think one of the ways I did meet you was through our great friend Terry Stultz, who we sadly lost a year ago today, but Terry's with us all the time. So his Dodgers won this morning at 6 a.m., and he'd be we're missing one seat here, but this would be a fun conversation. How long have you and Terry known each other?
I knew Terry through Little League Baseball. So I was, 9 to 12 years old, and Terry knew my brother growing up, and I always had conversations with Terry, and whenever I saw him, we'd talk baseball. He was a big Dodger fan, I was a Yankee fan, and we'd get into it, but it was always fun and good, and I miss Terry a lot.
Yeah, so. Me too. And for those who don't know Barry, he was a Northsider, Terry was a Southsider, so there was always a little fun friction that went on with all that as well. But this time of year, we're always talking about hoops and brackets and everything else. Before we get to that, well, the big news, in case people aren't paying a ton of attention, well, this week Indiana basketball has lost three players to the transfer portal. I don't think any of that is terribly surprising when you hear Peyton Sparks, Caleb Banks, and C.J. Gunn. Well, you add Xavier Johnson to that and Anthony Walker. There's five. You left a scholarship open last year. That's six. If Khalil Ware goes, that's seven. If Mbako goes, that's eight. I don't want to spend the whole program on that because we have the entire offseason, and we'll come back and do this again. But any surprises from you on those three entering the portal?
None.
Right.
I mean, I think everyone expected it, so It's just a wait and see, and hope you can fill spots.
And the portal's open till May 1st, so there's going to be a ton of activity. And what I always try to remind fans is the portal works both ways. You can lose four or five guys, but you can also bring them. It's not a one-way street.
But everyone in the portal is not a great player. That's everyone thinks you're going to go out and get five to six really, really good players. Well, we might get five or six players that weren't as good as the ones we lost. So
that is the downside of the player movement. It's good for the player. If coaches can leave and take jobs and players aren't comfortable, they should be able to leave as well. But it is changing college basketball. We've heard coaches talk about the first thing they're asking us about is money and all of this, whether it's football or basketball. But if you can play, Indiana has an NIL collective, and they have one of the most historic stadiums in America. They're going to play in one of the conferences that aren't going to go anywhere. There are some definite selling points, and it'll be interesting to see how Mike Woodson reimagines this team moving forward. And sadly, when we're filling out our brackets today, we're not talking about where the Hoosiers are, but we do have some Big Ten interests. Zach Osterman will join us here in 20 minutes. And he'll tell you about his thoughts on the NCAA tournament. He'll be following the Purdue Boilermakers. Purdue, one of the top four seeds in this year's tournament. Hardly surprising with who they brought back. You know, last year, Purdue, they weren't ranked in the top 25 before last season started. Now, I know they had a problem in the tournament last year, but you know they won the Big Ten comfortably. They were cruising along, but the black and the gold. And we'll start with the Big Ten here as we get things going. Do you get a little itchy because they didn't win the Big Ten postseason tournament, or do you look at it as, hey, it's good. They need some rest after what happened last year. They need to focus and get back down to earth.
I don't put a lot of stock in what happened the years before. Every team is different.
Totally.
I mean, if you've played, you know that, and. You know, to compare one team to another, but you got to look at it and say, you know, it's always possible, especially with them. But I kind of like the fact with this team they did lose, because you know now they don't have to worry about it, and those guards are better than they were last year, and you know got a little more experience with the tournaments, and I got Purdue going a long ways. So.
And I think Purdue got a. We were talking about this last night. I think Purdue got a pretty good draw.
I think they got a great draw, especially
now,
with
Utah
Kansas.
State's the only – that's a little wobbler there. That team has been surprising, and I learned that they had 0 points returning this year, and they won 27 games, Utah State. So that guy knows what he's doing a little bit. But Purdue has Edie, and you can scout, and you can know every out-of-bounds play, and you can know every set they run. But how do you stop 7'4", 300 pounds?
I mean, you just – you know, you don't teach size, and – if you got the big guy, you love it. If you don't, you know, it's tough, and you got to beat him up. And he gets beat up every game, in my opinion. And I'm by no means a big Purdue fan, but, you know, if you watch him, he gets beat up pretty good. And he gives it
he
gives
oh,
it
he
out
gives
too.
It too.
But, you know, and good for him. He's learned a lot, you know. I think with them it's all about guards, man. You know, you can have Edie all you want, but if those guards can't hit a couple outside shots, then – he is going to get beat up, and that's when they lose.
Yeah, and if they turn the ball over, try to play too fast, or forget that Edie's there. Edie can't pass himself the ball. I think you saw that last year. And the other thing you saw last year with Fairleigh Dickinson, they tried to run him off the court. You can't slow down and play a half-court game with Purdue. You're going to have to knock down threes like Nebraska did against him, like who else beat him? Northwestern. You're going to have to score. I think that's the best way to do it, because if you're going to slog it down, well, all they do is throw it at the basket and let the biggest guy go catch it.
Well, I think that's what they learned from last year. You know, if we're not hitting our shots, we got a big guy down there, and he needs to get the ball. And, you know, a lot of times, you know, when they're not hitting, you keep jacking it up. You know, if you're 0 for 8, you know, 0 for 10 is not going to get it either. So. But,
chuck it and chase it.
Give the big guy the ball.
Your other number one seeds are Connecticut, Houston, and North Carolina. The Carolina kind of flew under the radar. I want to say under the radar, because the ACC just didn't get any love all the season. But Connecticut, from the word go, national champions. They've hovered in the top five all year. Indiana fans had a front row seat at Madison Square Garden. Well, they got out rebounded 44-20 that night. You've got Klingon, the big guy, who's just as big as Edie, almost just 7'2". Sorry, he's not 7'3". But you've got good guards, guys that can shoot it. Connecticut. Clearly a favorite. Houston, Kelvin Sampson, there's that name again. He's just been hovering for the last 5 or 6 years at Houston. Even if they changed leagues, they went to the American this year, or they went from the American to the Big 12. And I didn't think before the season started that they would be the class of the Big 12. They ended up being the class of that. So four big-time number one teams. Only once in tournament history have they all made it to the Final Four, 2008.
Connecticut's really good. I mean, that's just, you know, they're just a good team all the way around. And they, you know, they had to play without their big guy for a while this year, and I think that even helped them more, because when he goes out, they don't lose a whole lot now. And Connecticut's just a good team. Houston's Houston. They're, you know.
Play like their coaches,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, you know, the old time, you want to watch old time basketball, Houston. You know, they're not going to score. They're going to beat you defensively. They're going to beat you up. And if they, you know, if they score in the 70s, they're probably going to win.
Because you're going to have a hard time getting 70 yeah. against them. Connecticut, did you hear this last night? Connecticut doesn't have to get on the plane to the Final Four.
Well.
That helps.
Well,
you know, you're the number one overall seed.
That's why you play for it, you know. That's why you're number one.
The regular season games do count. But when I heard that, I was like, oh, that's crazy. I mean, good for them.
The only problem I had with the number ones was North Carolina. I thought Iowa State should have been number one.
Two from the same conference?
Yeah, but they just – beat up Houston so bad. I mean, it may have been a fluke, I don't know, but when you win your conference tournament and you beat another number one and you're not a number one, I have a problem with that.
The NCAA tournament committee got a lot of stick last night as Virginia, another ACC team, and that's kind of the angle I'm taking with this here. It's what are you guys doing? Well, they were the worst team by the NCAA's metric ever to make the field that the NCAA people put together. They got destroyed last night. The ACC just hasn't had a very good year overall. I'm with you. Are we rewarding numbers? Are we rewarding reputation? I think it's a little bit more art than science, even though they try to tell you it's more science than art. Because Indiana State, that's your example. They were ranked 29th, didn't get in. Come on. Why do it? Why have a ranking?
Well, you know, I watched Virginia last night, and they had to be the worst.
Oh, that's why your eyes are bleeding.
They had to be the worst NCAA team I've ever seen, ever. I mean, if there was ever a case for Indiana State, it was last night on TV, watching Virginia just get destroyed by Colorado State. That is a good team, but not a great team. And I mean, like I said, I was texting with my friends. We were counting air balls by Virginia,
and they had a terrible night.
They were bad. And to say they're better than Indiana State or Kansas State, or, you know, there's probably five or six teams that are sitting at home going, "You got to be kidding me."
And some of them didn't even go to the NIT.
Yeah.
And that's not a knock on Indiana. You saw St. John's didn't go. Seton Hall didn't go. Oklahoma didn't go. I don't know if it's your protest or however you look at it goes out. Every year there's always the bubble, the next four out, and you're always trying to split hairs between it. And I think at some point, and you heard it, I think, from Izzo today or yesterday, say, hey, we need more coaches. We need more guys looking at it. Because I don't know if we need all these mid-major teams in here. I think the first part's right. The second part's wrong. If you don't have the charm of having Cinderella, I don't think you need the eighth, ninth, tenth place team in the Big Ten. You're gonna have 20 teams in the league. How's that all gonna work? But when they get on the court and you see them play, why do we have all these ranking systems all year long that shows you they're not in where they should be, but we still put them in there? That's what I can't figure out.
Well, I'm at the point where I don't understand why we have to have 64. Why,
well, you know, 68, you know, right, but I get
it,
you, yes.
You know, that could change every year. We could have 71 year, 1 year, 59. Get the teams in there that deserve to be in there, not the teams the athletic directors want and the money. And
the TV contracts are already there. Yeah. They're already paid for. Get them in there.
And they're making a difference. And like I said, I honestly believe Virginia played last night because athletic directors knew athletic directors. You know, put the teams, you know, who cares if we play 68 teams, 69 teams?
Right.
You know, you could do that every year. You're still going to make money.
And it is about making money, folks, whether we like it or not. Is it about having a clean bracket? Is it about playing into a play-in? I don't know. But I don't think the tournament's ever going to shrink again. If anything else, like football, it's going to continue to expand. So the other argument is, well, you had all season to play your way into that. But if you're Indiana State and you're 28-4, whatever your record is, or you're, I don't know, not McNeese State, but somebody from the MEAC or whatever, and you're 86-1 over 2 years, and you've never been to the tournament because you've lost, or 86-2 because you've lost your postseason tournament twice, I think we've got to be a little smarter than that.
But then again, you know, what's more important, the conference tournament or the conference? You know, I
think the regular season is.
But you're going to give the automatic bid to the tournament, and then you're a good team and you don't win your conference tournament, now you're missing out, and you got to watch some team that you beat twice by 30
yep.
points.
One bid leagues.
NCAA.
And that is interesting. The automatic conference tournament champion, I don't know, and I can't remember, and it bothers me right now why that became the case. And I think, and we were talking about this before we flipped the switches, I think it came from the major conferences saying, oh, if somebody in our league gets hot, maybe had a guy hurt, they get hot at the end of the year, run the table, well, they would get a bid they normally wouldn't if we would do that. But what it does is penalize the little guy that doesn't have a perfect season.
Yeah.
So somewhere in the middle, we got to find out what's going on. All right, so the bracket is put together. The second of the first four games will go tonight in Dayton. You'll have Colorado and Boise State, and then you will have Montana State and Grambling State. the winner of Montana State, Grambling State, will follow into Purdue, I believe. That's not going to bother them in Indianapolis. So you go from Dayton to Indianapolis there. That's not a bad one. The seeds are set. The games are ready. We'll kick it off Thursday, tomorrow, right here on WGCL at noon. And, yeah, we'll work our way back. First of all, let's get to the Final Fours. Who are your finalists this season, Mr. Barry Deckard?
My Final Four is Iowa State.
You love the Cyclones and T.J. Otzenberger.
Against Houston just to me was
a
big deal right there.
That's a good team anyhow.
Yeah.
When you're a two seed, you have to be a good team. I remember the Jamal Tinsley team that was a two seed from Iowa State. They lost to the Hampton Pirates. Two seeds, that can happen. Barry Deckard has them in. Who do you have them knocking out in the regional final?
Arizona.
I'm with you. I don't think I had Iowa State. I think it's somebody else. But Arizona looks to me like they are out of gas. They feel like an annual disappointment. They were knocked out as a two seed last year by 15th-ranked Princeton. They had a better team last year than they do this year. I'm not sure how the draw is going to help them. So Iowa State regional champions will be facing whom in the first half of the Final Four?
Oh, I'm sorry. I had Iowa State knocking out.
Well, it doesn't matter.
Knocking out Auburn, actually.
Oh, on the top part there.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Auburn. That's my champion. That's my champion.
That's a tough one for me.
Right. Iowa State. Who are they going to play in the Final Four then?
I got Arizona.
Oh, you have them playing Arizona.
Yes, I got them
playing. And then Iowa State beating
Arizona. Playing Arizona.
Oh my gosh! All right, other side of the bracket.
Okay, so we're going. I got Houston going in there.
You're going to ride the Kelvin Sampson wave. Think they could handle?
I think it's luck of the draw there. You know, you're playing a Duke team that's not real physical.
No.
You know, and
the Duke team in
Texas A&M's a scary team.
And so is Nebraska.
I think Texas A&M's going to get Nebraska. I'm not high on the Big Ten, so
that's
my
fair.
Problem.
So Houston comes out of the top and then out of the Boilermaker bracket on the bottom.
I'm sorry to say, and I'm not, you know, it's tough. It's tough for me. I'm taking Purdue.
You're going to ride. You're going to do the Tony Bennett special
again. Luck of the draw, too. I mean, you know. You got the big guy, and I'm looking, and I just don't see a lot of size come being thrown at him here.
So. If Dickinson's healthy, and Kansas
is beat up everywhere else.
They are,
the
and they don't have a bench.
Yeah,
that would be a tough game because I don't think they have enough ammunition. Gonzaga has never been accused ever of playing physical.
Yeah, I don't see it. And Tennessee, same. You know, Tennessee can beat them.
Tennessee might not beat Texas.
Yeah, but Tennessee is very capable. But again. They're not the biggest team out there or the deepest.
Tennessee can score a little bit. That's going to scare you if you're Purdue.
Yeah.
And if the Boilermakers get caught up, here's what Purdue can't do. They can't get caught up in the individual battles on the perimeter. They have to remember what their job is. And they've had all year to hear about how they can't do anything in the tournament. They've had, Lee Rose, 1980, the last time they've been to a Final Four. That is pressure. It is true pressure because a lot of people assume just because you're a one seed and lose to a 16 that you're going to win the national championship. So throw that on top of the expectations they already have, and that will be interesting. The other thing that Purdue hurts them is size. Their backcourt's small. Jones is 6'1", Smith 6'1". Lawyer is, if he's 6'2", he's barely 6'2". And that's another thing that could bother them. If you can't get the ball up and down the court and you turn it over all day, it's hard to get Edie the ball.
But I think, you know, 7'4 makes 6'2 guys 6'4".
Yeah, so, they know, do. You want to be up to that challenge.
You know, the big guy just makes a difference. And I think they got a great draw.
Who is in your championship game this year?
I have Iowa State and Purdue.
The Iowa State Cyclones and the Purdue Boilermakers. And the winner of the Barry bracket, the Barry Decker bracket for 2024?
Iowa State.
We bring in an expert, folks, and you're getting the sixth most popular pick, which was I thought was surprising. And Iowa State coming in at just around, what'd I tell you, 7-8% of the ESPN.com brackets.
And I'm not an expert.
No, that's right. These should be fun. Now, are you from the school of thought that you fill out 20 of these, you fill out one of these, you fill out one's an upset one,
I usually do two.
Do you? Okay.
I do two. I do two, one where I make kind of crazy picks and one where I – kind of go with my heart and what I think is going to happen.
From all the basketball you've absorbed over the last 4 or 5 months.
Hopefully. It usually doesn't turn out very well.
Now, hand me the bracket of hate. I will get you my picks here. I put this together yesterday before I saw Barry, and we had a funny laugh about this when we were getting ready for the show last night. The bracket of hate is the teams that I put in there, because I never win these, that I'm hoping, since I'm picking them to go far, won't. I'm a little bit higher on the Big Ten because I'm a masochist and enjoy that. But I have Auburn and North Carolina. I couldn't find anybody on the bottom. You know why? Because I hate Scott Drew. I can't stand Scott Drew. I don't. It's not personal. It never is. I don't think you can just. He bugs me. I've got Dayton knocking off Arizona. A little upset action on that end of the thing, and then North Carolina just kind of defaults for me. Sneaking out of the bottom. Who did you have out of the bottom down there? You had Arizona.
I had Arizona.
So again, an unacquired taste for me. So I have Auburn and North Carolina on that side of the bracket, and on the other side, oh, I mean, you just talk about pain and suffering. Houston versus Duke, and then you got Kentucky down there. I'll throw Boise State as my big upset. Kentucky will beat them to go to the 8. Well, again, I'm guessing here, and I think Creighton. Is going to slide through that bottom side because I just don't believe in Rick Barnes. I think Creighton's got a veteran team. They play in a tough league that didn't get any respect in the Big East. And each year it just feels like these upsets come from somewhere. Now, I'm not putting a 16 or an 8 or a 12 in the final four or whatever it is. But, again, having all four number ones probably isn't the way to fill out your bracket. Who's going to provide your biggest surprise on your sheet, Barry?
I really like Mississippi State over North Carolina.
Okay.
I watched them a little bit.
They have pieces. They absolutely have pieces.
They have some big kids. And
Tulu Smith in the gang. And Baycott's never blown me away.
And they're playing well right now. They're playing really well. Other than that, I don't have any real big upsets.
I'm gonna sneak Drake out. I took the battle of the corn there, the Iowa matchup in round two with Iowa State. Sometimes you just got, again, and we talked about this. Not only is a 15 seed won a first round game in 3 consecutive years for the first time, all 3 went to the. So somebody's gonna get it somewhere.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised to see Auburn beat Connecticut. I think Bruce Pearl got. He got jacked a little bit.
He didn't like the draw at all.
And I don't blame him. He's got a tough draw, but that team could win it all, Auburn. I like the Auburn team. I had a real hard time with Iowa State and Auburn, but I went with Iowa State mainly because of what they did to Houston.
Kentucky and Purdue will be my other side because I you know how I feel about both of those. I have Auburn and Kentucky in the championship game and Auburn winning. That would be something. They're deep. They're the only team in the top 20, both in offensive and defensive efficiency. That is usually a bellwether of what's going to happen come tournament time. But you know what it means now that I have them winning it all? The folks from Yale will knock them off the Bulldogs. We'll chew on their leg and beat them in round one.
Or you have a 100-100 final game.
That, you know what? That would be a great advertisement for college basketball. That's the other reason I like Kentucky over Purdue. Kentucky, how many you want, Coach? You want 110? We're going to give you 110. We'll get out there and run after it. In the past 5 tournaments, number 4 and number 13s were decided by less. Well, that's a terrible stat. Who cares about that? At least one top 4 seed has lost in the first round in 14 of the last 15 tournaments. So that's 16 choices this year. If you got to go out on a limb and pick one, who's going to go out? I think for me it's easy, and I think you'll agree with me. It's going to be the Kansas Jayhawks. Because if they are hurt and coaches told them that McCullers isn't going to play, it's really hard to get up. And I'm not telling you that Samford's the greatest team in America, but a little blood in the water won't hurt them at all.
If the big guy's okay for Kansas, I think they're okay. They're used to playing without McCullers.
He's been hurt for a month.
Yeah.
Yep.
They're used to playing without him, and they actually played pretty well without him. So I think that could help them a little bit as they get going because – people are going to be saying, you know, you're going to lose. And, you know, Kansas has always been one of those teams that plays well in the tournament. So I agree with you. They're they could lose easily very early.
All these teams can. Right.
But I think the big kid carries them for a couple games.
That's Barry Deckard. He joined us this afternoon live in the studio. How was it? Did you have a good time talking hoops?
I had a great time, man.
Awesome. Anytime, well, you'll be back.
Anytime I can be somewhere where Terry Stoltz was, it's a good day.
Awesome, man. Well, we'll have you come back as the tournament goes on. We'll see how these picks did next week as the Sweet 16 will pick up on Thursday night. I'll be back on Monday, so make sure you join us, and we'll have NCAA tournament action all day starting at noon tomorrow, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.